Grace and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I need to warn you off the bat here that this sermon is going to be rather didactic, meaning that there's something that I want you to learn from it. At the same time, my hope is that this sermon will also give you some training in things that you can use in your own spiritual life. Now, I know that some of you are already familiar with spiritual disciplines and practice them, but for some of you, all of this talk of spiritual disciplines may be completely new. Hopefully, everyone can take something away, whether it is encouragement to start or ideas of ways to improve what you are already doing in terms of spiritual disciplines. This seems like a good place to go with our epistle reading from Hebrews chapter 2 as we talk about the Lord's discipline. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. What son is there whom his father does not discipline? Now, we need to start by understanding what spiritual discipline is or what it does for us. First off, spiritual discipline, meaning the actions we take or things that are done to us in spiritual terms, does not make us Christian. Spiritual discipline does not make you a Christian. We are Christians not because of anything that we do, but because of what Jesus did for you. You are Christian not because of what you do, but because Jesus Christ died for you. God loves you not because you obey him, but because he saved you. And so spiritual discipline does not change how much your sins are forgiven or how much Jesus loves you or anything like that. Instead, we need to look at what discipline actually is. And according to dictionary.com, there are like 8 or 9 definitions, but 2 that are relevant for us would be an activity, exercise, or regimen that develops or improves a skill, or the rigor or training effect of experience, adversity, etc. And so the origin of the term discipline is with disciple, meaning a student or a father in Latin. So discipline is important because it trains us to be more Christ-like in our thoughts and actions. When you as a parent discipline a child, the goal isn't strictly punishment or to hurt, but to train, to teach the child to improve or to do better the next time. Over the summer, I was recommended to take a webinar on classroom management or behavior management because for some reason they thought that might be helpful with teaching at St. John. And one of the lessons that really stood out there was that the goal is of classroom management or behavior management is to teach these students to self-regulate so they don't need rewards or consequences to do what they're supposed to do in the classroom. The goal is that that you train them with rewards and consequences to the point that they don't need the rewards or consequences. And the same thing applies here with discipline, that even consequences for misbehavior is about training to improve. One question that's, I don't remember it before I was in like middle school or so, what would Jesus do? That kind of bugged me at first when I first saw it, because the obvious answer, to me at least, is Jesus would die for my sins. That is a very justification answer to a very sanctification question. Sanctification as in making us more holy, as in the work of the Holy Spirit in us, as in conforming us to the will of God in Christ Jesus, which is the point of spiritual disciplines. It's not about what Jesus did, it's about what Jesus will do in this situation. It's about the rule of love your neighbor as yourself, the greatest second commandment. And so spiritual disciplines help us to develop or improve our Christian skills. As we're disciplined by God, we understand His will better and we strive to perform His will, working as it works in us. As we practice spiritual disciplines or undergo spiritual adversities, the Holy Spirit uses those working in us to draw us closer in our thoughts and our actions to God's will for us and for our lives. So that is what spiritual disciplines do. Think of spiritual discipline as turning us towards God. Because Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins, God is already turned towards us in love. God then uses the spiritual discipline to turn us more towards Him. And so, let's talk about what a couple of these spiritual disciplines are. This is by no means an exhaustive list, but just a couple to get you thinking. First, let's talk about worship or devotion. Worshiping God regularly is commanded in the third commandment. This is especially talking about the communal worship that we do on Sundays and other special holy days, but it is more than just that communal worship. A good regular devotional life is also very important, both as something with your family and individually, just yourself with God. Look, for example, in Hebrews 10, the writer to the Hebrews says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." That is what worship does, is bring us back to the font, to God, who washes us and makes us clean and pure by His action. Worship was critical for Jesus. He worshiped at the temple on holy days. He went to the synagogues and preached there between. He needed to take time away from the hustle and grind of ministry so that he could recharge in his Father's presence. And that is what worship does for you. Think of the model of Christian life that you impart to your children when you gather every evening to worship God together, to read scripture and pray and sing. In Proverbs 4, it says, "Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil." Or else it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." What you do with your children as they are young has a profound impact growing up. I want you to, right now, look at the family altar in the bulletin. This is a very good resource that we give you for daily devotions. It has a prayer that you can use for each day. It has readings for each day. It has a hymn that you can sing. You can also find a slightly more detailed version of this in the Lutheran service book on pages 295 through 298, where it says, where it has specific orders that you can use for morning, for noon, for early evening, or for close of day, which are kind of shortened versions of the Matins, Vespers, and Compline services that you'll find a little earlier in the hymnal. You can also pick a hymn to learn and sing that every night. One I'd suggest is Lord Keep Us Steadfast, for all the reasons that I mentioned in my sermon last week. Another very good spiritual discipline is scripture reading or meditation. And if you look in the family altar, there are also daily readings that can help you to read through much of the Bible in a year. Scripture reading is also an important part of shaping us as followers of Christ. After all, if we're going to follow him, we need to know what he says. In Psalm 119, it said, God says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path," the psalmist says. And that is what God's word does for us, is to show us the path on which we are to walk. Knowledge of the Bible is, in fact, our greatest weapon in the fight against the devil and against temptation. Look just at Jesus in the wilderness, who fought against Satan's temptations with three little words. "It is written." Every time the devil tempts Jesus to do something, he says, "It is written," and quotes scripture. Anytime the devil tempts you, the place to go is back to scripture. "It is written." You can start from the beginning of the Bible and read it all the way through from cover to cover if you don't get lost around Leviticus or First Chronicles. I promise you it gets better. Another good option is to simply pick a gospel and read through it every one chapter a day for a month. If you start the Gospel of Luke on December 1st, then you will be reading the last chapter on Christmas Eve. Proverbs has 31 chapters. Most months have 31 days. And so Proverbs is another one that you can read through one chapter a day in an entire month. Psalms breaks down well into a monthly reading cycle of 5 psalms a day or half-year cycle of 1 a day, give or take. You can also read Paul's letters to the churches, Romans through 2 Thessalonians. Attending or starting Bible study is a good way to have accountability in reading Scripture. If you've read the entire Bible through and you're looking to change it up, then perhaps you can try picking a verse to meditate on for the week to learn what God is saying to you specifically in these words. Meditation, we often think of as more an Eastern idea or New Age, but it has a very good biblical basis if the focus of the meditation is what God says, looking to God's word, not to something inside of yourself. The third one that I want to talk about today is prayer. Prayer is a huge part of worship and devotions, but it's also important on its own. When you face any difficulty, prayer is a way to give that problem to God, to put your trust in God to give you the answer to this. Think of Abraham praying for Sodom as an example of the power of prayer. Abraham talks God down from destroying the city whole hog to sparing the city for 50 to 45 to 40 to eventually God spares Lot, which is really what Abraham wanted. Before his betrayal, arrest, crucifixion, Jesus needed to take time apart for prayer, for striving and struggling and speaking with his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane before enduring it. There is no bad time for prayer. You can pray anywhere, anytime. Psalm 141, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before you. The lifting up of my hands is the evening sacrifice. evening, morning, during the day, before and after meals, waking and going to sleep, even in the car, though I would not suggest closing your eyes to pray if you're driving unless you want to talk to God a little more closely. The simplest prayer you can say is the Lord's Prayer. You can also find some other good catechism prayers in the catechism or in the Lutheran service book on pages 327 to 328. Or there are many other specific prayers in the hymnal to use, pages 305 through 318. Even simpler than all of those, one of the best prayers is the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, the one that, in essence, Jesus used in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Thy will be done." Or, even shorter than that, the Holy Spirit, because Paul says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in groanings too deep for words. So these are some, and certainly by no means an exhaustive list, of the spiritual disciplines by which God disciples us as followers of Jesus. Worship and devotion, scripture reading and meditation, prayer. Using these and other spiritual disciplines on a regular basis allows the Holy Spirit to work on you and form and shape you to be more in the image of God. He remakes you into the person that He created you, redeemed you, and sanctified you to be. This is what it means to be a disciple of Christ, to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin and death, to follow where He leads you in your life. This happens as you put your faith into practice, entering His presence in worship, listening to His word in scripture, talking to Him in prayer. If you already practice some of these spiritual disciplines, I hope that this encourages you to continue and even to expand the ways that you train yourself in the faith. Like any exercise regimen, the key is consistency. As you exercise consistently, you start to see the subtle changes that show the exercise taking effect. As you practice spiritual disciplines consistently, you notice your thoughts and actions starting to conform more to the image of Christ, to the mind of Christ. If you didn't know anything about spiritual disciplines before now, I want to leave you with the encouragement that it's never too late to start or too early. You don't have to start with something big. In fact, it's probably better to start simple and gradually build up. Read the Portals of Prayer every night before bed. Use the family altar with your family after supper. Pray Luther's morning prayer when you wake up or Luther's evening prayer when you fall asleep. Start small. You will see that God can work through such small things to form you more into the child of God that you already are because of your baptism. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as we follow Him where He leads in this world and the next. Amen.